First, though, a new plan for the supply of household water in Melbourne is being hailed as the key to the city's water security. The initiative is outlined in the report Living Melbourne, Living Victoria, and it calls for a big shift in Melbourne's approach to water use. Options outlined include creating a water trading market and providing recycled and stormwater to houses for non-drinking purposes. Creators of the plan say it's all about utilising the city's water sources on a fit-for-purpose basis. Mike Woods reports from Melbourne.
Victoria's Water Minister Peter Walsh says capturing and using Melbourne's stormwater simply makes sense.
There is more water runs off the streets of Melbourne into the bay than Melbourne actually consumes in a year. So if you actually harvest some of that water for non-drinking purposes, to make sure our open spaces are kept green, to make sure our sporting ovals are functioning even in dry years, it increases the livability of our suburbs, it reduces the heat bank effect in our suburbs, and is good for the environment that you stop that major surge flow into our streams that you see at the moment.
Mike Waller is the author of the Living Melbourne, Living Victoria report. He says if adopted, the recommendations will see the city's water security ensured by the use of several means. He says it also has to be about giving water consumers choice.
And it's about tailoring particular options to particular areas. And in some areas, water tanks, for example, which may be one option at the building level, may make a lot of sense. In others, it may make sense to have a system that is based on the whole precinct. So the answer to this is very much it's going to be tailored, it's going to be on a case-by-case basis, but giving people and developers and householders the choice about how they actually save and most efficiently use water.
Professor Tony Wong is the director of Monash University's Centre for Water Sensitive Cities. He has for years been advocating the use of storm water. He believes that within 20 years, up to a third of Melbourne's water consumption could come from storm water. He says the Living Melbourne, Living Victoria plan is innovative in linking urban water reform with the livability of the city.
It is very satisfying to note that we are now beginning to realise the potential of urban stormwater, its benefit as an alternative water source, but also its benefit in delivering a livable city, whether stormwater or recycled water, that can be used as important supplementary water to the water we get from for our households. And the premise of that is that we shouldn't be thinking about using drinking water for everything we use in the house, you know, including flushing the toilets or watering the gardens, and that there are other water sources that are fit for purpose for those users, such that the precious drinking water that we have are being reserved for drinking purposes.
Tom Mollenkopf is the CEO of the Australian Water Association. He says the plan is another good step along the path to securing Victoria's water future.
So it's an evolution, not a revolution. We've already seen rainwater tanks. We've seen urban sustainability practices built into our drainage systems. So this is going to be the next step along that path. The important thing is it's going to look at things at a far more holistic, big picture level. So there's going to be a better opportunity to integrate this with our road design, with where we're going to locate our facilities, so that we optimise the natural features that are there to capture runoff and to conserve water where appropriate.
In new Victorian housing estates, stormwater would be captured and piped to local storages. The state government points out that this would also save billions in stormwater drainage infrastructure costs. Tom Mollenkopf from the Australian Water Association says, however, that this part of the plan would probably not be cost-effective in established areas.
Retrofitting so that we can capture that runoff, actually store it somewhere and treat it so that it's going to be clean enough even to use for irrigation purposes, can be quite expensive. If we're looking at the new areas, those greenfield sites, we've got the opportunity to integrate that as part of our design and therefore to minimise the cost on the community. So it's there, but it's not always the cheapest community option.
Under the plan, there is also an option whereby consumers could pay a premium on water bills to avoid any future water restrictions. Monash University's Professor Tony Wong says he believes the jury is still out on whether that part of the initiative is workable.
In principle, if you look at it purely from an economic perspective, the whole thing could be market-driven. From a personal standpoint, I think that there's still a lot more community consultation that needs to proceed before we can go down to that scenario of enabling people to have access to water for non-critical uses in a period of restriction. But I should make the point that the analysis that's been done, in fact, showed that if we were to access the alternative water sources that we are talking about now, stormwater, recycled water, we would create a climate of such resilience to future uncertainties that the likelihood of heavy restrictions are significantly diminished.
While the report has been lauded by most water experts, the question being asked today by many Victorians is, in light of the new initiative, whether the state now needs infrastructure such as the $5 billion desalination plant currently under construction and the North-South pipeline. Tom Mollenkopf again.
It won't replace some of our traditional supply sources such as catchments, and it won't replace potentially the need for the desalination plant if we have a long, prolonged period of dry. What it does do is it means that we reduce our reliance on those sources, and it means that when we do have rainfall, those sources, so our catchments like the Thompson Dam and the Upper Yarra Dam, they can actually refill more quickly because we're not drawing them down as much.
Makes sense to me. That's Tom Mollenkopf, CEO of the Australian Water Association, ending that report from Mike Woods in Melbourne. It's 17 to 7 on Breakfast.